Look at you go, knocking stuff out, letting nothing get in the way. Whatever life throws at you, you throw it back at 97 miles an hour. And if the chips are down, you make more guacamole. Yes, you got what it takes. Because there's no stopping you with you on your side. Everwise believes in the power of you, cheering as you take on the world. Everwise Credit Union. Confidence changes everything. Now go get 'em.
He said that nature abhorreth a void. It's a very powerful few words there. Nature abhors a void. Meaning, you don't always have to be the source of creation in your business and in things in your life. What you can do is just hold a vacuum for it. Hold space for it. And nature doesn't like voids.
Finally, after 5 years of product failures, my 35th offer actually worked. And my next 55 products generated over $11 million in sales in just 4 years. But after seeing the flaws in my business, I decided to shut it all down and restart from scratch, as us entrepreneurs do. Follow me and the other capitalist pig-loving entrepreneurs as I continue my journey towards $100 million in sales. I'm your host, Steve J. Larson, and welcome to Season 2 of Sales Funnel Radio.
What's up, Sales Funnel Radio? I am excited for today. I'm getting on an airplane and going to Africa. It's for a charity called Village Impact. 4 years ago, there was an opportunity to buy a school, and they've now finished construction. So I bought a school, and it's in an area where the kids, you know, would have to walk like 40 miles just to go to school. And you can guess what happens after a while. You know, it's they stop. I mean, are you going to walk 40 miles to go to school? Like, holy cow. And so there's not many opportunities. And so they get into drugs or trafficking or, you know, all that kind of craziness. And so these schools make it so, and then they bring in actual teachers. And anyway, so it's kind of cool. Really, Russell will be there. A bunch of other people will be there. If you bought a school and such, Marley's coming, and she bought one. It's kind of cool. She bought one before she and I were ever really talking or dating, obviously. And so, and we just both happened to do it. So it's kind of neat. So anyway, going to Africa, and flight takes off in like 3 hours. So I haven't been to too many international places, but I've been to a few. Never been to Africa. Looking forward to that. But anyway, I'm excited about it. But I wanted to bring something up with this, and I want to bring up a principle of this. You know, one of the coolest things I've looked at with these entrepreneurs, kind of in my earlier days, you know, when I wasn't really out on my own business wise, it was really fun for me to observe the good that, you know, these entrepreneurs were out doing. And because they understood cash flow and understood how to make money, they could tie their business to a cause that they cared about, you know. And I'm not saying all good has to have a check that you write attached to it, you know, as if we all use checks still, but you know what I mean. So when I started out on my own, just saw the impact of it, both for whatever charity they were writing a check for or helping, but also how it would change the entrepreneur and make more humanitarian-based things. Because obviously, y'all know how I feel about capitalism. But capitalism also can, just like anything, right, good and bad, to everything in life. There's a positive and a potential negative to everything in life. And obviously, one of the things with capitalism is there can be income inequality. And there can be, you know, I talked about this in my last Capitalist Pig newsletter. I interviewed Adam Smith. Like, we loaded his AI, his books into his AI, and I talked with him. It was really cool. I was like, hey, look, like, how do you solve the cons of capitalism? Because I don't think the cons outweigh the pros. And I still think capitalism is the way, but there's obvious cons, you know? So I think it's on each of us. I don't ever want to leave it up to a government to, you know, do you think the most change and good is going to come from a government or from frankly, entrepreneurs? You know, it's going to be entrepreneurs who learn how to create cash flow and then go do cool things with their profits. Not that you have to give it all away. That's not what I'm saying either, but to go build, you know, solutions to actual problems in the world as well. It's fun. You do that when you're an entrepreneur for a customer, you know, so you kind of get good at that skill set, and then you can turn back around and keep blessing others with it, which is extremely important. Anyway, I'm excited to go do this. So, but when I left my job, I was like, I got to go figure out what my contribution charity-wise is going to be. Like, I really like that, you know, ClickFunnels attached themselves to Village Impact. Every time you build a funnel, they donate a dollar, which is really cool. It's all automated. Most people don't know that it's happening. They also did a lot of stuff with, you know, OUR, you know, Operation Underground Railroad, you know, which, go see Sound of Freedom, spread that around. Pretty disgusting that it's kind of being hidden by the news. That's disgusting. So I think it's up to us, is what I'm saying. I think it's totally up to us. So, but it's not that you have to have all these answers up front. And so I wanted to just share with you guys a quick experience that I know that I've talked about at least once on this podcast, but I want to tell you how I've also applied it in a business sense. It was probably 2 years ago, and I was at a Funnel Hacking Live. I don't remember which one it was. It wasn't super recent. But I have no other way to describe it than I was woken up in the middle of the night. I was being inspired to create a medical underground railroad. And I don't know what that is. I don't know what a medical underground railroad is. What is that? And all I know is that's the angle for me to create impact and change besides, you know, besides business. And so I brought this question up to my, I'm like, all right, cool. Medical underground railroad. What is that? Right. I brought this up to one of my coaches. I have a business coach I work with. I have a personal coach I work with. Got like two other coaches I'm going to go hire soon. It's important to be coached. It speeds up everything in your life. So that's why I like doing it. That's why I know you guys follow me. You know, it's important to get coached. So, but one of my coaches, I brought this to him and I was like, what do I do? I have things that I can possibly conceive of being medical underground railroad related stuff. Like, how do I help people in that sense? I'm not a medical professional at all. Like, you know, history's loaded with entrepreneurs who helped create a solution for something they do not have specialties in. So I'm like, all right, that sounds good. Like, and it's still where I'm going to go and figure that out. But it's cool because this coach was like, I think it was Aristotle or Socrates. No, it was Aristotle. He said that nature abhors a void. It's a very powerful few words there. Nature abhors a void, meaning you don't always have to be the source of creation in your business and in things in your life. What you can do is just hold a vacuum for it, hold space for it. And nature doesn't like voids. Like, you look out in nature, if I was to start digging away all these plants and all these, you know, even just in the most barren wasteland areas, you know, there still eventually will be filled by something by nature, whether it's a plant or, right? Nature abhors it. It will fill it. And so I think it's a really powerful principle. And so I've just been holding Medical Underground Railroad open as a void. I have some ideas on what it's going to be. You know, I'm getting closer on what I think it will be, but it abhors it. And it's cool because over the last like 2 years, as I've started to explore separate ideas and where to go with this, and like, it's actually shifted parts of my business model so that I can fund it, you know, and I think I'm going to give a percentage of my recurring revenue to it. And I don't know, I'm just exploring different pieces with it and like, okay, now what does it do? And I'm like, well, I got all the info product skills. What if it was the info product area, but it's free stuff and it spreads info, it still costs money, which is why it needs money. You know what I mean? I'm still exploring it. And I bring it up for a few reasons that very rarely do I ever have a business that you're watching me do that I thought of in like 3 seconds and now I'm doing. Most of the time, you know, it takes mental grit and reps and all that. And I was on a coaching call recently and I was helping some people. And I think there's this notion that like you just get zapped with this lightning bolt of, this is exactly what I got to go do, you know, and it slaps you across the face and you're like, oh, and you have ultimate clarity, no questions ever, and you just get to go build. When in reality, it does not happen that way. It's like you get a little glimpse and then you're going to mentally work on it and it's going to work on you, you know, and it's going to go back and forth. And there might be times where, you know, it's the idea that you get obsessed with and takes a while, you know, to really create, not that it has to, but more often than not, for me, that's how it's been. That's been my experience, is that it's something that is more along the lines of you're designing and discovering the idea at the same time, you know? So I'm really excited to go on this Africa trip. I'm going to, for a lot of reasons, obviously for the purpose that I'm going, but I also am going because I want to, I don't know, get new perspectives, new ideas, which is, if I'm feeling a stalemate on an idea, or I'm feeling a stalemate in progression on a business idea, anything, any idea at all, usually it's because I have a lack of knowledge. And specifically, it means I have a lack of perspectives. And perspectives increase your speed like crazy, which is, again, another reason why you get coached. Someone's like,
because I'll be looking at a problem and I'm like, no, it's totally like this. And 80% of that might be true, but then a coach looks at me and goes, well, I mean, but remember this though. And I'm like, oh, that's right. You know, and it helps you not get blocked mentally in your own ways and progress and grow. One of the fastest way to grow. So I'm excited because that's one of the reasons why I'm going to go there is to, I keep doing like side field work on Medical Underground Railroad idea and what I'm going to go do with that. To give you an example though, let me go to the second example I also wanted to share here. To give you an example of me applying this in business, like I have been trying to figure out, you know, I had a coaching program for a long time. It was called OfferLab and it helped launch a lot of people's careers, you know, and it's similar to any coaching program where you get some people who are, you know, who exploded, others who got like, they didn't go like super big, but they got mediocre results. And then it's usually like 5% who, I don't know if they just disappear and blame it on you or what, but you know, it's a coaching program. And so I was like, I want to take the coolest elements of the coaching aspect where someone can chat with me weekly, right? While they're trying to figure out whatever problem they've got on their mind. So I can share a different perspective, some ways to think about things, not to slow down their progress by talking and sharing all this stuff, but you know, by legitimately trying to help. So, and then I'm like, okay, so I miss having a coaching program. Like, what is that coaching program? Right? Asking questions is so important, right? So I'm like, all right, I'm going to hold nature pours a void, right? I'm going to open up that vacuum and ask what are the coolest parts of the coaching area and model that I like? What are the parts of the coaching model that are tired, that people are kind of sick of, that people wish they had, but are never getting, you know? So I'm looking at the positive and the negative of the coaching model, right? Then I'm like, all right, what's another part? You know what? People have always wanted a mastermind from me. I get requests from that all the time, right? Steve, when's your own mastermind? I'm like, ah, oh, that's right. Like I love that model so much. It really is the primary way I learn and gain perspectives very quickly. Cause you're in a room with other entrepreneurs, just like, you know, and it, when people show up with the right intentions and they're showing with you like, hey, think this, don't, you know, what about this angle? What about this angle? They're not trying to tell you what to do. What they're doing is they're sharing with you other perspectives. And so it speeds up your growth really fast. It's one of the ways that nature fills the void, right? And so like, okay, with the mastermind model, sweet. Here's the stuff that people love about it. Here's stuff that I love about it. Here's the stuff that seems to be most effective. But here's the stuff that people maybe are a little tired of or want more of, or, you know, wish they're being served in these ways, but don't feel like they are, right? And then I did the same thing with the consulting model. And I'm like, okay, here's the consulting model. What's the coolest parts of the consulting model? What's the parts of the consulting model that is the most frustrating that people wish they got? I've done a lot of consulting, a lot more than I've actually let on. I was probably a little bit better at documenting every step of the journey at the beginning of my career. Not that I don't document the journey still, but I'm doing the thing. And so sometimes I don't put out as much content as I used to, but that'll change. I got my direction on that now, which is awesome. I just haven't pulled the trigger yet, but I will. Capital's Pig Radio, psyched for that. So I'm excited. I'm eager for where I'm going to go, because as I've been asking those key questions, how can I combine the coolest of the coaching model, the mastermind model, and the consulting model into one thing? One thing. And I found it. It's been one of those nature abhors a void thing where I've just had to keep the vacuum open and just start seeking and sifting through answers and ideas. And none of them have been the answer on their own. It's only when I've combined stuff and gotten rid of stuff. And I'm like, oh my gosh, here it is. And learned other people's models. And, you know, I've been doing a lot of funnel hacking and offer hacking and business model hacking and finding out like, how can I go be of the most support and help while also having balance of life, right? Combining coaching, mastermind, and consulting models, coolest aspects, getting rid of the aspects that I don't like. And so I found it. It's a program that I've created. It's got what I think is the coolest parts of the coaching model. There's parts of the coaching model that I hate, though, where it's like, you got to wait like 6 months or 12 months or however long the person's program is to get the outcome. And I know that some things take that amount of time, but I move fast. Like, I don't want to get locked into, well...
Hey, I hope you're enjoying the episode. Let me interrupt for just 1 minute here. One time I was speaking on the stage at this event, this guy picked up a microphone and he said, Steve, when do Facebook ads begin paying off? And I remember looking confused and just asking back, like, what do you mean?
He repeated the question and said, well, we've been spending a lot of money on Facebook ads for a long time now, and we're just wondering when this begins to all pay off, when we actually start making money from the ad. I said, wait, Facebook ads are not an investment. They don't pay off someday. This is direct response marketing. So if we don't get a payoff within the first few days, we turn off the ads. How much money have you spent? I will never forget the look at this guy's face as he realized he had the completely wrong mindset about ads. And he said, we've spent over $250,000 without any return on ads at all. My stomach fell out of my body. Look, this is direct response marketing, meaning we measure the direct response of our marketing. That's why ads are the holy grail of marketing. They're not an investment that pays off someday, sorry colleges, because every dollar spent on ads should return with another dollar very soon. That's what my good friend John Parks and I are doing, the Chief Ads Officer Workshop on May 15th through the 17th. John has spent over $150 million in Facebook ads profitably and manages the ads accounts for some of the biggest names out there. John is going to take 50 business owners through his unique Facebook ads process while you follow along. At the end, you're going to have your own account running. I simply asked John to show us what's working best today in the ads world right now. John told me that one of the hardest parts of running ads today is finding the right person to do it. Traditional org charts don't really have a spot for the ad buyer, so this workshop will help you install a new role, whether in-house or if you go hire, the new role of Chief Ads Officer inside your business. This workshop is both for those who want to learn ads themselves or for those who want to learn to communicate with their media buyer better. The workshop is only happening one time in person in my event studio in Boise, Idaho, May 15th through the 17th, and all the details are at chiefadsofficer.com. Go to chiefadsofficer.com right now to save your seat and get more details. We can't wait to see you there. Let's get back to the episode.
We'll talk about that month four. I'm like, okay, but I want to solve this tomorrow. It's like, you know what I mean? Like, so this part's a coaching model that like so frustrating. And then I'm like, all right, the coolest parts of the mastermind model, like the fact that it is a mastermind, chances to network and talk. I'm against the idea that there's some masterminds out there that I feel like are just glorified coaching models. And I'm like, ugh, a true mastermind is such incredible education. And it's not really about the mastermind creator. What their job is to curate the room, right? They got to create and pull together cool people so that it serves everybody. And then same thing is true, you know, with the consulting model. I love consulting, but I will tell you that every single time I have ever taken on a consulting client, at the end, they're always like, that was the most amazing thing I've ever gone through. I have more clarity on my business I've ever had in my life. And I'm like, I know, what's up? I'm in my zone. You know, certain things I can't share in a course. And when I can customize who I'm talking with, like, it's way better. Way better. But one of the hard parts of the consulting model is that how do you give ongoing support after you do a full day where it doesn't accidentally slip into coaching, but still is customized help, you know? And I'm like, oh my gosh, like, so I found it. And so I'm like, all right, so I found the model. Now that I have the model, what is it that I'm providing? And I've been going back through my stuff and simplifying and changing really who I serve. And it's not that I don't serve funnel loving entrepreneurs and marketers. It's that I've transitioned all of my stuff to kind of like cheaper continuity models. I have one tier that you basically get access to pretty much every course I've ever created. And when I say pretty much, the reason why it's not all of them is because there's some courses I'm like, this course over here teaches it way better. So I'm going to, and that's obsolete. I don't want to give stuff. I'm not trying to give trash. I'm giving the best of the best, you know? So it's part of the Capitalist Pig Club, you know? And then if people want more of like a weekly group class setting, that's my Capitalist Pig University. But what I've really created those as is serving the entrepreneur and the marketer who have, maybe are still trying to like nail their offer. They're still trying, they're not really done like a true launch. They never launched their business. I think it's funny when someone makes fun of the launch model. Like, well, they make millions first off. Second, you still have to launch. Launch a company at the very least. Do one launch at a bare minimum. And then yeah, evergreen, automate for sure. And so what those tiers are really built for is someone who's not done those things. But my skill set has, you know, I've continued to grow over the years. And so what I've noticed happening is that I'll start learning stuff and go, this is amazing. And then I turn back around and I teach it to people who are still trying to figure out their offer, and it's cool stuff, but it derails them. They're still on problem two or three, and I'm talking about problem 47, you know, or whatever, right?
And so it's, I'm like, here's what chapter 47 looks like. They're like, I'm on chapter 2. And I'm like, oh, that's right. And so it will throw them. And it's actually a disservice for me to come back and teach those things. It distracts them from the very problems that they're trying to focus on. And so what I've really created this as, I'm super excited about this. I've been looking for this for 2.5 years now. Been on my mind, like almost all the time. Like, how do I still serve the customer that is newer, who I have a lot of empathy for? I went through a ton of failure myself, right? While still serving the customer who is more, you know, who has a business, who's doing 7 figures a year. You know, this year at Funnel Hacking Live, I'm teaching my hook model, which serves both the new entrepreneur and existing, but it really amplifies the existing entrepreneur, you know, so what I've done is I've gone through and I've pulled out a brand new model. I'm calling the model market disruption because that's really what I do. I would say that I am a much better marketer than entrepreneur. I'm also a much better marketer than I am a salesman. I'm still good at those other two things, but like marketing is my strength. And so like strength. And so I really mean like organic messaging pieces, you know, stuff that makes you spreadable, talkable, and I'm psyched about all that. So my point, I hope this episode has made sense and you're like, oh, just inspiring some ideas. But my point is that, and I know I've talked about this in one other episode, though, that nature abhors a void. So design them. Design the void. In my opinion, that's just another way of saying dream, but get real clear on the dream. What's the container you're trying to fill? What's the idea? You know, to decide, the word decide literally means to cut out all other options. So decide what the container is, meaning focus, cut out all other options. You don't have to know all the answers. But just hold open that container and start discovering and learning and saying, ooh, this, ooh, that. You know, I can go get a piece of advice from somebody, but I'm also not them, you know, and there's certain things that I'm not trying to be anybody else. I'm trying to be me. I say that also because I know a lot of us will go like, what's the model? I got to know the exact model for me. If you're doing it, I'm doing exactly that. And like, that's cool. It kind of gets you kickstarted. But at some point, like you are going to be your own person and you're going to make your own stuff and you're going to make your own models and you're getting inspired by other people's models. But I'm not trying to be a total clone of someone else. And I know it's more of an attribute towards the discoverer that I really am, but I call myself an idea pioneer, but that's one of my tricks to doing it. And so I thought I'd give you an example of, okay, look, Medical Underground Railroad, I'm getting closer. I got to hurry here. We got to leave for the airport in like 1.5 hours. So I'm not done packing. Not because I've been lazy. Whew, just been busy. Really, really busy. So, and then also from like a business context though, but the same thing is true in any other place in life, like anything. You want to get good at anything. First, just create the void. Realize that there is one. Start to learn the void. What are you void on? What are the skill sets, mindsets that you need? Well, you know, got to have both and start filling it. Who can you model? How can you learn from people who've already gone down the path you're trying to go down? Meaning model them. Absolutely model them. But there's going to be a place, if you stand long enough, where the trail ends. And, you know, people look at you and you start looking around like, hey, what's next? And then people are like, oh, you're at the cusp of discovery in terms of this business model or this skill set or whatever you're doing. It's time for you to now ask, what would I do? And still following the principles, still following the things you've learned before. And you know, and so anyway, I don't know, maybe I'll call this episode Idea Pioneer, how to be an idea pioneer. But that really is one of the ways. And I think too often we're like, you remember the days when the internet was not around? I'm that last generation where we didn't have smartphones or any of that stuff until, you know, I was in my mid-20s when I got a smartphone, like, and it just wasn't a thing, you know? But you remember back in the day when, you know, you had to like go to a library, right? Google wasn't a thing. I mean, like, I remember that. It's like, I'm young enough to be a millennial, but I'm old enough to know, like, I'm like 50-50. Cannot imagine growing up in today's technology world at a young age. Like, oh, I don't know if I could handle it. But you remember that? Like when you just had a question and you just didn't know the answer? You know what I mean? I think that there's a lot of power in asking a question and not immediately knowing the answer and not immediately figuring out where to go and not like there's a patience there. And sometimes I think that maybe as a society, we kind of forget like that that's how it used to be like 20 years ago, not even, right? And there's still like 2 billion people who don't even have the internet in the world, right? And I'd say that 2 billion of the people who do have the internet kind of suck at using it. You know what I mean? Like, my point is have respect for asking a question and then the gap of not knowing the answer. And that's okay. And that doesn't mean give up, right? And I'm preaching the choir a little bit, but like, that's what I'm so serious about. Like for years, I had a problems whiteboard and I would just write down questions and problems and things that I wanted answers to, but did not know the answer to immediately. And I just kind of held space for them and started studying and researching and learning, or I'll be in a mastermind. Someone would say something and be like, oh, interesting. That kind of answers a little bit more. It's a little more insight to one of the problems I have on my whiteboard. Huh? Right. And so my point, be curious. It's totally part of it. I think a lot of times when I'm coaching people now, it's like, but what's my model? What's my offer, Steve? And I'm like, holy crap, you're probably not going to figure it out in 5 minutes. You just probably aren't. Right. What's my model? And people get a little frustrated. And I'm like, first off, I can't answer that for you, but I will guide you so that you can discover it, because I need you to be entrepreneurially self-reliant, right? Business owner self-reliant. That doesn't mean you're off on your own, right? But like the answers you're seeking for will probably, they'll likely come from you, inspired by others. No one can answer these questions for you. Who do I sell? But then, no, wait a second. You tell me who you sell, right? And if you're looking for help and to be guided through that, for sure, I get that. But like one of the hardest things to watch is when someone has built an entire business based on the opinions and advice solely from other people, never truly making a decision on their own. I know that they're, for lack of a better word, castrated from the beginning, because they're going to get to a certain spot in their business and then not know how to ask a question, seek the answer, and then have the self-confidence to act on that answer because no one else said it to them. And I'm like, ah, you're missing half of the point and the personal growth that comes from the game of entrepreneurship, right? Open up the gap, realize that that's fine, that there is one. I ask a question, the time that you ask a question and get an answer is like sacred space. You're about to have a lot of inspiration. You're going to go on a little mini journey and you're going to have a lot of them over the course of being an entrepreneur. And so I thought it would just be helpful to just open up and share here. Like, look, I don't know totally what Medical Underground Railroad is yet, but I'm starting to get a lot of insights on it. I didn't know what my back end of what I was going to be selling. And so just one program, I don't want a whole value ladder stuff. One thing, right? Where I've got stuff at the bottom helps the person who's still trying to figure out their offer, still trying to figure out how to do a launch, still trying to figure out how to automate stuff. That is like, I've almost automated all of those pieces. Go through this course, do this. Go through this course, do this. Here's the community. Here's the pieces. Here's the coaching aspects. Bam. Here's the info. Like, sweet. But when you're like at a certain spot, where I truly, personally, really accelerate is when you are already at seven figures and boom, doubling you. Dude, that is like, that's Steve Larson's sweet spot. That's where I am. But it's all come from this question of how do I open the gap? How do I, and I've had to practice this a lot. I've totally gotten frustrated. My gosh, I've looked at, and I've just been brain dump and meditate on this like crazy. You guys have no idea how much I have been obsessing, trying to figure out what this backend is that blends coaching, consulting, and mastermind into one program so that someone's not like, I got to join this and this and this and this just to get the things I want. I'm like, what if I take the best from all of them, put them in one spot, talk legitimately about the things that people are frustrated with all of them, and let's answer those and simplify so that you're not having to chase around all these offers and you can just execute, right? You ask the questions, get the vacuum, you know, open that you need, and then go fill it. And so getting passionate here with this, but it's just something that I watch a lot. I'm like, you got to know how to ask a question and not have it answered in 3 seconds before getting frustrated, right? And go discover and learn. And it's on your shoulders. It's, I was talking to someone else. So like, I was telling him like, it's on your shoulders. Like, no, this is what I mean when I say like, no one's coming to save you. I don't just mean financially. I mean, with your questions too, like learn how to be entrepreneurially self-reliant in terms of asking a question and in terms of problem solving. That's really what entrepreneurship is. You find a problem and you solve it in a valuable way. Boom. Entrepreneurship in a sentence. That's all it is. What's marketing? It's noise-based lead gen. Well, Steve, how do I do that? Okay, cool. Learn how to make other models for sure. Learn from other people, what's working right now in the industry, in the market, totally, 100%. That'll take you like 80% of the way, but that last 20% is probably going to be stuff that is custom to you. While 80% of business truly is the exact same, they're obviously customized to each individual business owner and company because you sell a different person than I do. You serve a different product than I do. You know what I mean? So yeah, learn the 80%, but like no one can give you the 100. Only you can give that to yourself, right? And that's the point I'm trying to bring to this. So I got to pack and I will see you guys later. And I'm sure I'll make some content while I'm in Africa. I'm very touched. I was watching videos of people doing this in the past and just like totally tearing up. So anyway, I was thanking my little girls. I was like, I know you guys are giving a sacrifice up because I'm 50-50 with them, you know, week on, week off. And so I was like, you know, I got to cut my week a little short with you guys. That's the sacrifice you guys are making. But let's go look at the kids that you guys are going to help also inadvertently by giving me time to go do this. And it was a cool experience with them too. So awesome. You guys are great.
Hey, thanks for listening. Be sure to download all 300 episodes from season one from Sales Funnel Radio, which documented my journey from literally zero, leaving my job and my first 5 million. And it's easy to download. Just go to salesfunnelradio.com, enter in your email, and it will get emailed to you. It should be immediately. You'll see it inside your email, the link itself. You can also see a link on there to interview me, work with me, get some sponsorship if you want. I can get some shout outs or even record your own question for the show. Again, just go to salesfunnelradio.com, subscribe to the newsletter, and you'll be able to download all of season one's episodes for free.
Look at you go, knocking stuff out, letting nothing get in the way. Whatever life throws at you, you throw it back at 97 miles an hour. And if the chips are down, you make more guacamole. Yes, you've got what it takes. Because there's no stopping you with you on your side. Everwise believes in the power of you, cheering as you take on the world. Everwise Credit Union. Confidence changes everything. Now go get 'em.